You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. This is live from Studio J. That was Joe Serapere from her release, Love Going South. And that was a track called, if you couldn't figure it out by now, Unbreak My Heart. We're doing Valentine-themed week all this week at WHFR. Before that, we heard Pizza Girl by Jeremy Porter and the Tucos off of Partners in Crime from New Fortune. And before that, we heard I Know How to Love You by Xander the Great off of Xander, Michigan, a self-release as well. All right. As promised, we have in the studio Laura Mendez.
Mendoza,
sorry. I apologize.
That's okay.
I've had a lot of things going on today, and my mind is like scrambled here.
No worries.
But yes, you are from the band White Shag,
that
of course.
That is correct. I front and play bass in the three-piece hard rock band White Shag. We do. Okay. We rock very hard.
Yes, you do. In fact, I saw you at the Whitney this past summer.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes, it was.
I love doing the Whitney because we get to do two sets.
Yes.
And the first set we do is, all acoustic, and we do stuff in Spanish.
Okay.
And then we come out and we totally rock out like a second set.
Uh-huh.
Full on, you know. So that's really fun. And everybody's riled up and had a few drinks by then, so that's really
Yeah. Always helps, right?
Yeah.
So it looks like you're going to be doing a little bit of that today, of course, you know?
Yeah, I have a lot of Spanish stuff that I've brought. I did bring some of my own material as well.
Yeah.
Just a couple songs, so we'll probably touch on that. And then there's a little cover that I learned that I just heard the other day on, and I have to thank Andalisi for playing it on 101.9 the other day.
Okay.
Yes, it was a really, really beautiful song, and I fell in love with it, so
okay.
I decided I was going to bring it here today.
Sure. And by the way, Sean Blackman says hi.
Tell him I said hi.
Yeah. I spoke with him on the phone on the radio at 4:15, and he was talking about his Latin dance party coming up next week at the Garden Theater.
Oh, that's great. Good for him. He's such a good guy.
Yeah, and then I told him, he's like, well, I got Laura playing, you know, at 5 o'clock. I'm like, oh, cool, you know.
Yeah, and I can hear, by the way.
Oh, you can't?
I'm just teasing you.
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. So, all right, I'm looking forward to it. Lots of great music. We're going to start out with a track called, looks like, Toro Mata?
Yes, it's Toro Mata. It's actually Afro-Peruvian traditional folk music from Peru. This song is, I really love this song because of the passion that they sing this with, the certain style of music called Lendo. It's my favorite style probably of Latin American music.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, I lived in Santiago, Chile for 7 years. My mother was Chilean.
Okay.
She's passed since, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Okay.
this song is very powerful. And I learned it when I was in college at school in Chile, and I've just never forgotten it. So here we go.
All right, let's do it. Thank you. All right.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J. Laura Mendoza from White Shag doing a solo performance for us from 5 to 6. All right. So
you can tell there's a lot of passion in that style of music, and that's really what I enjoy about it.
A lot of feeling, yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. So what do you want me to play next?
I don't know. I'd like it all.
Well, let's do something else in Spanish. What do I have on the list there for you? Because I have a different list over here.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. It's kind of a little bit hard to read, but no...
No hay perdón.
Okay.
It means there is no pardon. There is no forgiveness.
You know,
There's no forgiveness is what it's called.
Yeah, I took Spanish in college, and I could never do those rolling R's. I tried my very best.
You have to pretend they're like a D almost. Like, pero.
Yeah.
And that will help you. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good little tip there. I used to give Spanish lessons, and I used to have actually some students who I gave Spanish lessons or singing lessons to in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Because they wanted to practice their Spanish.
Right.
And they wanted to learn how to sing, so...
So they got two for the price of one.
No, not for the price of one.
Well.
I did give them a deal, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Of course. All right, so this song is called No Hay Perdón. It's by a band called Go Betty Go. And they are actually a very strong female punk group out of L.A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they do some stuff in Spanish, too. I think they're around, like, you know, like the mid-2000s. Is when they were putting out stuff. But this is a really great... I kind of changed it up a little bit, though, to how
sure.
they really play it, so...
Sure.
No tengo solución para cambiar la situación.
All right. That's that one song that I always tell people. There's always that one that catches me off guard. It just ends like that, you know?
And that was it? That's cool.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J with Laura Mendoza. All right. We're here to talk about the Erotic Poetry and Music Festival.
That is correct. It is on February 25th at
week
the Tangent
from
Gallery.
Saturday.
Yes, a week from Saturday. I will be performing there.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a special guest showing up to accompany me on one or two songs, perhaps.
Ah, okay.
A very special guest. And I guess this is their 30th anniversary. So
wow.
It's a pretty big deal.
I can't believe it.
It's a really, 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 really fun time. There's a lot of people there. The performances are great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of friends of mine are going to be performing as well. Glenn Novak,
including
Karen
this
Neal.
Gentleman behind me.
Yes, this gentleman over there.
Yeah.
Mr. Jimmy Doom.
Jimmy Doom. There. You want to get on the mic there?
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right.
Yes.
Excellent.
The 30th anniversary of the Erotic Poetry Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura's been doing it for a number of years.
That's correct.
I've been doing it since before Laura was born.
Probably. Although you'd be surprised, I'm a little older than the festival.
Just a little, maybe a year or two, right?
Thanks.
Yeah. So you've been doing it probably just about from the beginning, Jimmy.
Oh, no. I don't have a good memory for those sort of things. I may have indulged in a beverage or two over my day.
Just a couple.
Sue informed me this year that this is her 18th year, which would make it either my 18th or my 17th. Although there's some years I did very brief appearances. But one of my favorites was the year that I was living in New Orleans and I sent new material up here to be read by some of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had the idea to make paper cutouts of my face. So people were reading my material with paper cutouts of my
That's
face
hilarious.
Covering their face.
That is
which,
so funny.
Which in not one case would be an improvement.
All right.
That's funny.
So you got some samples for us later on? Like after the,
I mean, if you don't, that's cool.
I mean,
I would love to give you some samples, but
probably can't do it.
FCC standards suggest that I probably not give you any.
Okay.
And it would if I was going to give you a sample, it'd sound something like one Saturday night, beep, you know, and then yeah.
And then the ending.
And then the ending. Thanks for coming out. Try the whitefish. So yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk.
But we can discuss it.
Yeah, we can talk more about it after 6 o'clock. Okay. All right. Let's play some more music, Laura.
All right. What do you got there on your list, honey?
Let's do Que Hace Aqui.
Que Hacen Aqui.
Okay.
I actually would like to talk about this song a little bit before we start because it's very dear to my heart, the song, particularly because it's called Que Hacen Aqui, which means what are they doing here?
Mm-hmm.
When I lived in Chile, there was a lot of political turmoil there due to the dictatorship that happened in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my family is very socialist. My grandfather was one of the founders of the Socialist Party in Chile, along with Salvador Allende. And he was also Minister of Agriculture in Chile, and he was also a diplomat. So, but he died before this election. About 3 years before the election.
Oh, where Allende, too bad.
Yeah, well, a lot of people say that he probably would have been the candidate for president instead of Allende, which could have been probably had a better outcome in the end, I think, because I think Allende did make some mistakes, but there was no reason for what happened to happen. There was a very horrible military coup on September 11, 1973, and half of my family had to exile from Chile because of it. One of my uncles, though, he was in the Navy, so he was safe. But he always wanted to be admiral, and he could never get that high because of his leftist family past. It's really, really upsetting. So this song is called What Are They Doing Here? And it's about all the people who had to exile outside.
Okay.
And, go and live in another country and leave everything they knew and loved behind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably about 5,000 people missing that they don't know what happened to them, where they are, they got killed during this military coup.
Wow.
And then, you know, there were 3,000 people actually killed, but like these people are called desaparecidos, the missing. and there's no grave for them. They don't know if their families don't know if they're like in a loony bin somewhere or if they died. It's very, 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 very sad what happens. It's very sad. Mm-hmm. So this song was written by a group called Iyapu. And I have to find my chart for it. Hang on.
Okay.
There it is. But Iyapu, and they wrote it about how, what are you doing here? You know, what are these seagulls doing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so far from the sea, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
This is what the song says, and it brings up other things like, what are these children doing here?
Right.
Where are their parents? Where's their home? Why haven't mm-hmm. they gone home?
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with all these Chileans who had to exile out of their country and then maybe could never go back.
Mm.
So the dictatorship lasted for until 89, and the country voted him out, surprisingly. The first time he was probably ever diplomatic. But there's a lot of turmoil to this day
mm-hmm.
in Chile because of what happened. There's a lot of angst against, you know, the military, because they were the ones who went into people's houses and killed them. So there's a strong like anti-military, you know, thing going on there with certain, you know, classes of people.
Right.
And then you know then there are people who are militaries. Nobody's saying that anybody isn't, you know, you know, innocent or is, but
right.
it is what it is. And this song is it speaks to my heart because I love Chile very much and I wish I could go back
mm-hmm.
and I haven't been able to. And it's sometimes I feel like I really relate to this because I'm just like, what am I doing here?
Hmm.
The seagull so far from the sea.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Here he goes.
All right.
¿Qué hacen aquí estas gaviotas? Tan lejos del mar, ¿qué hacen aquí? Entre piedras y rincón, en este río marrón, ¿qué hacen aquí? Tan lejos del mar, ¿qué hacen aquí? Lejos del hogar.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J. Laura Mendoza from White Shag, solo performance for our listening pleasure this afternoon. All right. So you're going to be playing the Hamtramck Music Festival as well, right?
Yes, we are. We're playing the Hamtramck Music Festival at Trixie's. We go on at 10, I think, 10:30, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see, what did I wrote it down over here. Now I forgot where I put it. But yeah,
I do that all the time.
We're playing on the 4th. Yeah, Trixie's. Okay. So be there, be square, because it's going to be a pretty good performance. We're going to be rocking out seriously hard.
Okay.
I think we got a lot of energy to burn, but we always have a lot of energy in our show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We do, we rock really hard. I don't hold back when I'm on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's a point in doing that.
Right.
You know, and you can do it well.
Mm-hmm.
It's as a female, you know, in this scene, in the rock scene, it's always been really difficult, you know, because I get discriminated all the time for being a woman in this scene.
Hmm.
You know, actually, when I was in Chile, I was the only girl in my class.
Really?
In my entire class. Yeah. Out of 120 students, I was the only girl.
Wow.
And it was because it was a male dominant career. It was composition and arranging and popular music.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I had to fight a lot to, you know, make my mark and, you know, prove myself. I had to work twice as hard as the boys. I even had professors who told me that women didn't have the mental capacity to be a musician.
Okay.
I know, right? This
really?
Is a very sexist country. I mean, like, I dealt with a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with that here in the scene, though, too. That's the thing. I've dealt with sexual harassment. I've dealt with, you know, people sexually assaulting me.
I'm really surprised.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Today, like now in 2017,
yep.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. And when you expose yourself and you put yourself out there so much, it's so easy for people to think that they can do those things to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just because I'm sexy on stage doesn't mean that, you know, I'm going to get sexy with you, honey. Sorry. But these type of things happen. And like a lot of discrimination does happen. So I feel like I've paved the way for a lot of other females, you know, who or I'm inspiring them at least, you know, to move forward and keep fighting the fight of, you know, putting our place. I don't sit behind a computer, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, post things and stuff like that. What I do is I'm out in the front lines. I was one of, you know, I was the music director at the School of Rock in Farmington. And out of all the School of Rocks in the nation, there were only 2 female music directors, and I was one of them.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Very interesting, right? So the scene is just, you have to work twice as hard constantly for this, you know, as a female. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. But I feel like I've come out on top with twice as much respect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
hey.
I forgot what I was going with that anyways. Sorry, I went on a tangent.
That's okay. That's all right. It still amazes me to this day, you know, actually minorities as a whole have a better chance of getting farther ahead than females.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just... It's a male. It's just it's a male-dominated society. It's
right.
A man's world.
But I mean, if you got ahead, it would be because you were a minority, not because you were a female, is what I'm getting at. You know, in some cases, sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Yeah.
You're right. I see it that way, too.
It's strange. But what are you going to do?
It is.
You just have to keep plugging along. That's all you can do.
Yeah, and that's all I do, really, in the end, is I just keep rocking and, like, you know, I remember one time... I was doing sound check up on stage at this a certain venue around town for a certain benefit. So I think it was like a women's shelter benefit, like abused women's shelter benefit. We were doing the show.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole band did it, George, Joe, and I. I can't remember, some guy came up to me and he goes, "So are you really the bass player in White Jug?" And I'm like, yeah, and I'm the lead singer. And I walked away. It's like, really, is it so hard to believe that I play an instrument, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what he'd heard about us or whatever, but after I got off stage, you know, after performing, he looked pretty stupid. He had his tail between his legs, so. So that's what you deal with all the time as a woman. You're constantly, you know, having to prove yourself. You're constantly getting comments made at you like that and stuff like that. We do have a very strong, like... there is a strong community of guys who are very supportive of me,
mm-hmm.
and who you know love our band and who are great.
And I'm one of them.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So that's a good thing. It's great when your fellow peers, and especially males, you know, they like tip their hat to you,
mm-hmm.
and that's always an honor for me. And those guys know who they are. Those guys know who they are.
There's a couple of them over there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Like I said, forgive me if I can't pronounce things perfectly, but Solamente Una Vez?
Yeah, Solamente Una Vez.
Okay.
Latin American music is very tragic. So hopefully my headphones won't fall off this time because I was having a little bit of trouble with that earlier.
Okay.
So here we go. Solamente una vez amé en la vida. Solamente una vez y nada más. Una vez nomás mi huerto brilló. Alumbra el camino mi soledad una vez nada más se entrega al alma con la luz y la renunciación cuando ese milagro realiza el prodigio campanas de fiesta que cantan en el corazón. Nada más se entrega el alma con la dulcidad renunciación cuando ese milagro realiza el prodigio de amarse hay campanas de fiesta que cantan en el corazón.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J. Laura Mendoza performing for us live here. Well, you talked about how you were teaching others. Where did you and how did you learn how to play guitar and all that good stuff?
Well, I started playing the guitar when I was probably about 10. My sister brought home a guitar. She was learning how to play. Mm-hmm. So she started to teach me. And I think I was on and off with the guitar and, you know, for a few years until I finally went to college and then I really needed it. Mm-hmm. And I learned piano in college as well. I've been singing really the longest. I've been singing since I was like 4 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did that start?
I wanted to be a star. I wanted to be the center of attention. No, I don't know. I remember, you know what I remember? I remember the national anthem they were playing in at the time because it was during the Gulf War.
Okay.
And this was really when I...
And you're talking about the Chilean national anthem?
No, no,
or
no.
The American?
American one.
Oh, okay.
Here in the United States.
Okay.
Here in the United States, yeah. It was. I remember they used to put it on for propaganda during the Gulf War. So, but this is when I figured out I could actually really sing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like they would put on the national anthem and I would sing along with it. And that's not an easy song to sing.
No, it's not.
It's like over an octave, you know, the range of it. And it's not very easy. So you have to be well. My sister, the same one who brought home the guitar, she heard me one time and she ran up to my mom. She's like, oh my God, Mom, did you hear Laura? She's getting all the notes. Oh my God. Oh my God. And my mom was like, yeah, I know. I know. Just to be quiet. She's really embarrassed about it. She's kind of shy, you know? And then, I don't know. It just became nurtured after that. You know what I mean? My mom didn't push me really hard, but she let me, you know, flow and grow into it mm-hmm. really easily. I started doing musical theater not too long after that. I started doing musical theater. That's probably why I have such good stage presence on stage is thanks to my musical theater,
okay.
you know, background. I did lots of plays. I had lots of parts. I was Amaryllis Amaryllith in The Music Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That was funny. I was Reno Sweeney in, what was that called? Anything Goes. Oh. It was great. It was awesome. I had like a chorus behind me singing.
And, yeah.
Like, everybody's dancing. It was kind of like a dream come true, but I remember when I moved to Chile, I couldn't do the jazz hands anymore. I just saw so much heartache and so many different things. I decided to just stick with music and leave, you know, the whole theater part of it behind. But yeah, I learned piano in college. I played the trumpet too when I was 10. I picked up the trumpet then. And then the bass actually is the instrument that I learned the latest. But for me, the bass is just like, you know, I mean, it's like jumbo Crayola crayons. You know, and the guitar is like regular Crayola crayons.
Oh, okay.
That's what I used to tell my kids all the time. Yeah. It's very easy to play the bass. And I mean, you know, rhythmically, I have a lot of rhythm because, you know, I'm Latin, of course. But I have a lot of rhythm, so it just became very easy to pick up the bass and just, you know, immediately be able to play it. And I wrote bass lines so long through college because we had to learn how to write for every single instrument. You know, so I already knew what a bass was supposed to do. It was just a matter of picking up and playing it, you know. So that's where all that comes from.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
Thank you very much.
So how did you meet the other two gentlemen
from Whitechag? Well, George, I met him at a video store in Ann Arbor. He was working at a video store. And I used to go and rent movies from his video store. And him and I would just sit there and chat. We had a good time, fun. And, you know, he says to me, he's like, he had never heard me sing even. He's like, you're like Joan Jett. He's like, I want you to be in my band. And I'm like, and back then it was just the Brothers Cortez. They were still playing. And like,
oh, okay.
And they just pretty much put me, they had me front the band then. And I played rhythm guitar on some songs and, you know, and I just sang. And, but then our bass player ended up leaving and so I just picked up the bass and I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to sing and play. And the way we were received as a band really changed after that.
Okay.
So, and then Joe came in probably about 5 years ago. I met him. He was the music director at the School of Rock in St. Clair Shores.
Oh, okay.
And I was the music director. I was going to be the music director in the one in Farmington. And so Joe and I would hang out, and he would school me on what, you know, to do as a music director because they never really gave me any training for it.
Right.
So, like, we would go out and have fun. We had so much fun that we just ended up becoming friends. And then one day I was like, dude, I need you to, like, come on and play on these tracks for me. We're recording an EP right now. And he's like... He's like, hell yeah, I'll do it. And he loved it because he's like, I can rage. Oh, my God. rage. So, and he does rage on the drums. He's like a machine gun. I mean, there is no fill like a Joe Leone machine gun fill.
Yep. Well, like I said, I saw you guys last summer. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And his meter is just, I mean, it's on point. It's on point. You will never hear him slip a beat. Ever. So, and then just Joe liked it so much, he just ended up staying in the band.
Okay.
You know, cool. That was really cool. So we've had a lot of fun. We've been to South by Southwest. We've toured over the nation. We won a Detroit Music Award in 2013 for Best Hard Rock Band. I won a Detroit Music Award in 2015 for Best Hard Rock Vocalist. And it was nice. It was really nice to receive these awards, and especially with all the people who came up and said, you know, you guys really deserve this. This is very well deserved. Yeah. Very well deserved. And that's always nice. And when your peers, you know, you get that star of approval, and then, you know, they pluck a little star, they put an extra star on there for you.
Yeah. So you are getting recognition, and you know, it isn't, you know, all.
We are. We get recognition, and we get crap too, you know. Okay. But every band does, and that's just the way
every
it is.
Every band, you know. I mean, I hate to bring the band up, but like Nickelback, you know, some people love band.
I know. What's wrong with them? Sorry, everybody who likes Nickelback.
That's okay, but you're right. I mean, you can't please everybody. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
And I mean, there's, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are jealous because we do rock really hard and we have good songs. You know, I'm a songwriter. I write songs, you know. Yeah. Some of my songs are, you know, they have meanings that are very strong. And, I don't like to talk about some of the songs that I have and their meanings because it's very personal.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I think that, you know, a lot of people could relate to them if I did, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, some of our, the things we go through are universal, you know, as far as what we've been through, whether it's the death of a family member or, you know, turmoil or, you know, like you said, discrimination, whatever, you know. Believe it or not, I get discriminated sometimes. Everybody always thinks that I'm white and I'm older, so I'm privileged and I've got money and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I don't have any of those things.
I know, right?
I'm still fighting to pay my mortgage right now.
I know. I think we're all struggling a little bit. I know I certainly am. It's a rough world out there right now, and we all need to stick together.
Yes.
And be kind to each other and be loving to each other and let the music speak for itself, because that's really what matters in all of this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what really matters most is the music.
Oh, heck yeah.
And nothing else.
If I didn't have music, I don't know what I'd do.
Neither. You know what, honey? I don't know what I'd do either. I wouldn't be here right now, that's for sure. I might be a lawyer, though. I was actually thinking about that. I might be a lawyer. Mm. I think I'd be a really good lawyer.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Oh, I think I'd be really good at being a lawyer.
All right, let's do another one.
Okay.
Eres?
Actually, you know what? I want to skip that one, and I want to go to the songs that are in English, because I see that we don't have a lot of time left, and I want to make sure that I get these down.
Well, you see the time, so you do it how you want to do it, definitely.
Right. Well, this song I'm going to play next is called The Way It Goes.
Okay.
It's by Gillian Welch, and like I said before, Andalisi played this the other day on her
show.
Essential Music. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
On 101.9, and I fell in love with it. I just heard it once. I heard like the end of it, and I was like, oh my God. I'm like, that song is so well written, and it's such a beautiful piece of it's a beautiful composition. Mm-hmm. The way it's written, you know, the refrain, then the chorus, and how the chords flow and everything. It's just, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. So
you just learned it recently then?
Yeah, I just learned it like in the last few days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've done the cover band thing and all that stuff, so it's easy for me to pick up songs really quickly. And I'm just a musician, you know, I've been doing it a long time.
Okay.
So here we go.
All right.
Wait, but first I'm gonna tune my guitar really quick.
Oh, certainly.
Because I changed some of the strings on here.
All right.
Right before I came here.
I'll just remind everybody, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is live from Studio J. Another live performance. We have Laura Mendoza from White Shag doing a solo performance for us. She's going to be playing the Erotic Poetry and Music Festival a week from Saturday at Tangent Gallery / Hastings Ballroom.
That's correctamundo.
Yeah. All right.
All right, here we go. Johnson bought the phone with the needle in arm. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. And the brother laid her down in the cold Kentucky ground. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. That's the way.
The has stolen my best. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. Miss my gentle touch, I hurt you very much. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. That's the way that it goes. Everybody's buying little baby clothes. That's the way that it ends. Although there was a time when you and I were friends. Although there was a time when you and I were friends. Although there was a time when you and I were friends.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J with Laura Mendoza. All right.
All righty, righty.
That's a nice sounding guitar. What brand is that?
It's a Seagull. I actually hate it.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't know. Sometimes she does herself justice. Uh-huh. Today she's doing herself justice. I actually like the way she sounds today too. I don't know.
She sounded good on my end. That's for sure.
Yeah, she does sound good. She really does today. I got to give it to her. That's... I did put some new strings on her, so I think it does have a little bit to do with that. So.
That always helps. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
So this next song, I'm not going to talk about it at first, because if I do, I'm going to get really upset. And so I'm just going to play it, and then we can talk about it afterwards. Okay?
Okay.
Sorry.
I can feel it coming on. That you won't be with me for long. So I'll say goodbye, and I swear I'll try not to cry, but I will stay stoned all the time. There's so much I could say and do, but I
Hey.
Hey.
Jimmy and I's theme song.
Yeah. Stoned all the time. Yeah. Well, this song is actually about my mother's death.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay.
My mom passed away 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She died of breast cancer.
Oh.
She fought for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had to watch her die.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It was a 3-month period, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it was one of the most beautiful journeys at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to say goodbye. Yeah. And I got to show her how much I loved her before she left this world.
Yeah.
And the song is about her, and I would smoke pot so much during this time. Just get stoned all the time. And that's why I say I'm just going to get stoned.
Okay.
To try to numb it, so.
Yeah.
That's what this song is about, and she was very special to me. I would have killed 5,000 men for that woman.
Mm-hmm.
One of her teardrops would bring me to my knees.
Yeah. You know?
Don't you hate it when your mom cries? That's the worst.
Yeah. No, I always said the hardest thing to do is either lose a child or mom.
Yeah.
But
on a brighter note.
Like I said, I mean, it's universal, you know. Like I said, I was, when I was young, my grandfather, my mom was an only child.
Yeah.
So he never had a son. So I was his baby.
Oh, that's nice.
And we got to spend the first few years together, and he was gone by the time I was 7. But I watched him, like you were saying, it took him 4 years to die from throat cancer.
Oh, gosh, that's agonizing.
And
that's horrible.
You know, I watched him suffer, and my final memory is him being rushed into the emergency room screaming at the top of his lungs. So, yeah, I can see your pain, you know, it's not easy.
It's not, and I'm still, you know, dealing with that.
Yeah.
It still hurts really bad. Like, I can't even talk about her without starting to cry like I am right now on air. Great.
It'll get easier. It takes a long time, but it'll get easier, though, you know.
It does. But on a brighter note, White Shag will be releasing our album, which my mother would be very, very proud of me and very happy for.
When is that?
That is on April 28th at the Magic Bag, and Dirt Wolf and the Beggars will be playing with us. I'm actually really happy about this because the two bands and the venue that we're playing at, the venue has always been there for us. They've always asked us to play shows and open up for cool bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been playing there for many years now. And then Dirt Wolf has always been very supportive. I remember they asked us to play their first show, and they've asked us to play other shows with them. I have a lot of respect for the guys in that band. And the Beggars, of course. The Beggars have been super, super, super supportive of White Shag always.
I love those guys.
Me too. They're such, all of them are such good guys too.
Yes.
All of them in both bands. And so,
yeah,
you know, we wanted to tip our hats to the people who've really been there for us and who've supported us over the years.
Well, one of these days we got to get White Shag in here. We got to get Dirt Wolf in here. And actually, the Beggars have been in here.
I'll help you out with getting Dirt Wolf in here.
All right, cool. Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do have some time. So,
okay.
According to the list, I have Let Me Go, but we can still do the other one, Eris.
Yeah, I can do, it doesn't matter. Either.
I mean,
it sounds like you want to hear more Spanish.
I love Spanish.
Okay, we'll do that one then, just for you.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
That's okay. So this song is a song by a band called Café Tacuba.
Mm-hmm.
And this song is called You Are. And it's obviously somebody who's in love with somebody.
Okay.
And it's a song just about that, and it's very beautiful. If you listen to the original, it's actually quite the jam. It's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I love playing it acoustic because I think it sounds beautiful.
Okay.
And, you know, just the Spanish lyric and all that is really, really great. And what I like about this band, too, is they're big fans of a Chilean band. This is Café Tacuba is a Mexican band, but they're really big fans of this other Chilean band called Los Tres.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually covered some of their songs. And Los Tres was a huge band in the 90s. They, you know, they were like the coolest band around at the time. And they were like they were like burning bridges and doing crazy things. It was awesome. It was just a great band. So that's why I really like that's what made me learn about Café Tacuba was through Los Tres. And this is how I figured out how I learned this about this song. So, all right, here it goes.
All right. Quiero en este mundo es un
tiempo que comparto es mujeres. Lo que la gente promete cuando se quiere. Mi salvación, mi esperanza y mi fe. Soy la que querer te quiere como nadie. Soy la que te lleva y está tu día a día, día a día. La que por ti daría la vida, esa soy.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J. Laura Mendoza, solo performance for our listening pleasure.
Yes, I'm glad it was pleasurable for you.
All right, before we do the last song, why don't you run through everything for us one more time in case people tuned in kind of late. The upcoming shows.
Okay, I will be playing at the Radek Poetry and Music Festival on February 25th at the Tangent Gallery. I'm going to be around 11-ish. I'll be doing something very similar to what you just heard today on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I will be also performing at the Hamtramck Music Festival on March 4th at Trixie's. We're going around on 10:30. I'm going to be also doing myself a Dick Wagner benefit. I'm singing backup for the Dick Wagner benefit.
Oh, they're doing another one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On March 24th at the Fillmore.
Oh, okay.
So that should be really fun. Suzy Quatro is going to be there.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. It's actually really funny because Suzy Quatro, she's only performed twice in this country, like in 40 years. And I saw her perform both times.
Really?
Yeah, we went to, she was honored at this musicians, it's called MeowCon. It was Musicians for Equal Opportunities for Women is what it was. So
okay.
The whole band, George, Joe, and I, we all went together. And we played this conference that was pro women,
mm-hmm.
and Suzy Quatro was being honored there, so it was very nice.
Yeah,
it was really, really nice, okay. And we had a really good time. And we helped. You know, she, what was her name? I can't remember her name. The lady who organized it. She was trying to raise money for women's shelters and stuff like that. Women who've been abused and all that kind of stuff. So we were happy to do it. We played it for free, but we got to go to Austin. We hung out with our friends there, and then we made some contacts for South by Southwest after that, and then we went to South by Southwest.
So it was worth it.
It was definitely worth it. It was a great time. We have a lot of friends in Austin. A lot of bands have stayed at my house. I've housed a lot of bands from Austin, too. So that always helps. always have a nice place to stay whenever we go to Austin.
That's another good city for music, besides Detroit, Austin.
It is. Yeah. It's oversaturated a little bit there, just like it is here, too. I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of competition in the scene, and I think that's the beautiful part about that, that keeps us, keeps the music so good, is because, there is competition. There's nothing wrong with healthy competition.
No,
I think it drives people to be better, but you get jealous, competition, that's when it's not healthy.
Right.
And I think that we push each other here in Detroit to be better, And so the bar is set very high here already. So if you are under that bar, you're not going to get very far.
Yeah.
That rhymed. Sorry.
I think it's still good though, because I go to a lot of record release parties because of what I do, the radio thing, and a lot of times I do see a lot of musicians in the audience. In fact, there's times when it's like, wow, I'm the only non-musician here sometimes,
Yeah, it's funny how that's happened. I mean, live music is is really taken a hit in the past like decade, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's changing though. Mm-hmm. I think people are starting to, you know, they're starting to be more local about everything, you know, a little more, you know, just about what we're eating, what we're putting in our bodies, mm-hmm. you know, about buying things locally. People are becoming more conscious about that. And this is something, music like this is very much on the same level as that. So not only should they be buying local products, they should also be going and seeing local bands. Oh, that's a part of all this movement. You know, that should be a part of it too.
Well, not to say that you musicians are not worth it, but, you know, the reason why I started getting into local music, it's, you know, it's gotten so ridiculous now. I mean, I think I heard that Metallica tickets are like $150.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
You know, I can't afford that.
Neither can I.
Or I can go to 20 great shows, you know, over the next 6 months, you know.
No, I feel you on that one.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. And, like, the thing is, though, is, like, local musicians, like, I mean, you go to a local music show, it's like $5 or $10. I mean, it's not expensive at all, and you get entertainment, you know, and you can start to learn new songs.
Exactly.
Not the same ones that you hear all the time.
Over and over again on the radio, yeah.
And big bands like that, you know, like Metallica and, like, you know, the Stones, and, like, they kind of make me angry because, you know, they had their heyday. And they still do, and I'm glad they're still playing, by all means. But I don't see them reaching their hand down and pulling up younger bands and saying, hey, this band is cool. Mm-hmm. We're going to take them on tour. We want everybody to see how cool they are. No, they charge bands to go on tour with them. They don't handpick those bands.
Yes, they actually have to pay to play. You know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. And that's like, that's no way to nurture the music community by any means. You know, these guys, they need to be throwing their hand down and pulling up younger musicians, bands that they approve, that they think are cool.
And remember where they came from.
Absolutely. Iggy Pop actually did do that. Iggy Pop did do that. He didn't have to reach his hand down necessarily, but he took musicians who are popular, you know, right now. Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
He had them backing him up.
Right.
That's great. That's him. He's, you know, giving them exposure as a band, and they're one of the really good bands, rock bands that's out there right now. One of the only ones, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I feel very passionately about rock and roll.
I can tell. All right, we better get to it because we're running out of time.
Cool.
One more song, Let Me Go.
This is Let Me Go. This is a song I wrote about my ex-husband who literally wouldn't let me go.
Okay. Well, I don't blame him now.
Yeah. This was a little unhealthy, though.
Oh, okay.
All right. You're moving fast and going nowhere. I live this life under your care. Hazy mist invading my mind. It's what I find to pass the time. Shackles chaining up my fire. Better days do not exist, only this, or I just can't remember. Let me go, let me go, let me go, let me go, let me go. And dreams once nestled in my heart, and now they aren't there anymore. And I've forgotten where I'm going, but you don't mind me being late. You don't even want me, you just won't be the one that controls. Let me go,
let me go.